Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. February is sometimes referred to as the month of love. Valentine's is mid-month. Couples who desire to be married will often select February as their marriage month. As we look at the demise of our culture, one of the contributing factors is the demise of our families. This month, I'm going to be sharing messages about marriage and family. We're going to begin with a message to our single listeners about how God can help you find a mate and help you to be significant even as you are single. If you know someone who's single, invite them to listen to these messages over the next few days. It would be a blessing to them. Then we're going to share some messages to our married couples to encourage you and to enrich your families. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word. How many adults do we have in the building today, but that is not married? How many adults? Let me see your hands. If you are not married, just look around the room. Adults who are not married, whether they've never been married or whether they're widowed, divorced, they are not married. We have a significant portion of the body of Christ who are not married, and we don't want to neglect them while we're talking about family because they're part of our family. All of us who are married were unmarried at one time. One of the statistics that I've read when I've looked at marriage and family is that about 50% of marriages end in divorce. And then a curious question was asked to those who remained married. That question was, would you remarry the person that you married the first time? Half of the people who remain married said, if I had to do it all over again, I would not marry this person. Don't nobody look nowhere. Just look straight at me. Don't hunch the wife. Don't say, uh-huh. Don't have to say nothing. Everybody just stay like that. Okay, because you don't want to get no hints. Right? We don't want nobody fighting on the way home. Well, did you say something? Did I hear you grunt when Pastor said that? Tell me why you wouldn't remarry me. Now, just take, baby, you know I'd take you over. Isn't that curious that 50% of the people who are married would say, I wouldn't marry this person if I had to do it over again. Every healthy adult will consider the idea, if you are single, of someday getting married. And the question becomes, if you had to do it over again, those of us who are married, what would you do different? There is a tendency for people, those who've even been married more than once, there is a tendency to marry the same kind of person. You ever notice a woman who has an abusive husband and get out of that relationship, get right into another abusive relationship? So we're going to talk about how to find a mate God's way. Now, you know how to find them your way, but how do you find them God's way? It takes more than just a hey, baby, and you sure look good to me. Getting married is not like getting a car. See, getting a car is a one-sided transaction. As long as you have enough money or enough, you don't even need enough credit today. As long as you're a big enough fool, you can get a car. They'll give you a car with 25% interest. A bad deal. You don't have to have very much going for you to get a car. To get married, it is a two-sided transaction. You've got to have two people who will agree that they want that relationship and they want that marriage. There are many things that have changed in our civilization over the past 3,000 or 4,000 years, but one thing that has remained constant, and that is the desire for male and female to come together in a union, in a relationship that's called marriage. People still want to get married. It's never gone out of style. It is so much in vogue, so much in style, even people who aren't male and female want to get married. Two women want to marry each other. Two men want to marry each other instead of just live together. They want marriage. So there must be something wonderful about marriage that folks who aren't supposed to be getting married trying to get married. But just think back. Those of you who are older than 20 or 30 or 40, and perhaps you were married in the past, but just think back. Remember when you were 18 and how marriage was a dream and you were just hoping and dreaming and daydreaming, especially the women. They just think they saw this guy and, you know, and they said, oh, he's so cute, and they already looked at how they're going to cook for him and all that stuff like that. And they talked to their girlfriends. Girl, he's so cute. I can see having a bunch of cheering for him. And you dream and you hope and you talk with your friends about how it's going to be to have the ideal mate. Honey, I'm going to marry somebody. He's going to have a nice car, a nice home. He's going to dress nice. We're going to live in a nice house. And he's going to have a nice job. And we're going to have a whole lot of money. That's in our 20s. And then when we're in our 30s and we're still unmarried, it seems like everybody is talking about marriage around us and about us. You know, mama saying, well, when are you going to get married? And the pressure start to mount. And your friends say, don't you have anybody? You know, and your grandmothers say, you know, Beulah got her somebody. You sure can get you somebody. Where's Beulah? Oh, sorry, Beulah. But everybody's messing with you about getting married. And no longer are you daydreaming for that person that has that nice job and all of that. You're just trying to get somebody that you can love and trust. Our standards begin to change a little bit. We're looking for a nice person that just got a nice job. Then when we get 40, our hope is almost gone. Maybe God will see fit just to bless me with a mate. Somebody you can just spend some quality time with. We no longer look for that person with a nice house and a nice job and makes good money. We'll just be happy with a person. Lord, I just need somebody. You're just that far from saying anybody. Many of you, before you got saved, you had your own ways of trying to meet somebody. So men, you know, we would get all dressed up and we'd go to the places that we'd go to, and we knew that we had a game, we got a line, we got a hustle, we know how to scheme, we know how to do whatever we need to do to get somebody. The women know that because, you know, we see you. We say, hey, baby, then I know you from somewhere. Isn't that what we say? Haven't I met you before? That don't work. Something must have been working. What worked? Baggy pants hanging down? What's up? Did that work? Something got your attention. Something made you stop and look and listen and smile and giggle and give out your phone number. He didn't walk up to you and say, you know, I'm considering a meaningful relationship, and I just noticed that you were standing here, and I would like your phone number and your address, and then we'll negotiate and see if we can get this working. He didn't say that, did he? He said, oh, baby, you're looking good. You said, get away from me. Now, why do women do this? Here you go. I've noticed this from afar. It didn't happen to me, but I've noticed as I observed. Women are walking down the road, and a guy say, psst, you don't say nothing. But then after a while, you just look back after you. All you got to do is wait. She's going to look back to see what that was. Even if she got to stop in the mall, look in the window, all you got to do is pay attention. It won't be long before she'll say, well, that might have been. You know, when you're young, you're 17, 18, some guy say, hey, you know, oh, get away from me. But when you're 30, you know, you got to check that out. The Lord might be moving, and you never know. Glory. You don't hear too much when you get 35, 40. So when you look in Scripture, you'll always want to see if there is an example for us to follow. And there is an example. God didn't leave anything to chance in terms of our relationships. So whether you are the seeker, the man, or the seekee, the woman, I want to give you some basic things you must adhere to when you're seeking to, rather, or even responding to a potential mate. Now, I don't want you to think you have to be so holy that nobody can talk to you. They get me with this. I just want Jesus. I don't need nobody else. But then you know you want a husband, but you won't do anything that be ready for that to happen. If you're desirous of a mate, there are some things that need to be done so that you can prepare for a blessing that God's going to send you. It's not only in the area of our relationships, but anything that you're expecting God to do, you need to prepare for that. So we want to look at some scriptures, and this is for believers. Now, if you're an unbeliever, this is not for you. This is for believers, because we're talking to church folk, and we're talking to people who know God. This is for believers. Somebody say believers. Believers. All right, these are biblical prescriptions. So number one, If you're looking for a mate or if you are desirous of a mate, do not go among the heathens. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not go among the heathens. That doesn't just mean don't go among folk who don't go to church. There are some heathens in church. Everybody in church is not right. Don't go among the heathens, unbelievers, people who are not saved. You need to get somebody who's at least as saved as you are. Let me say that again because somebody missed that. You need to get somebody who is saved as you are. Because if you're saved and you're seeking God with all of your heart and you love God and you're passionate about God, and you come to church on Sunday morning, you come to Bible study on Sunday evening, you come to midweek service and you're seeking God and you're fasting and praying, don't marry somebody who just come to church once every 2 months. See, it got quiet in here. I'm telling you that because they ain't as saved as you are. You need to get somebody that's at least hooking up with you. Because the first thing that's going to happen is when you get married, he's going to try to keep you or she's going to try to keep you at home with them. Why to get quiet in here on that one? Just as long as he's saved. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said unequally yoked. So when I was desirous of a wife, I was impressed that my wife was at church every time I was there, it looked like. And I was there often. I wasn't interested in somebody that I just saw one time and don't see him at church for 2 or 3 months. They don't have a passion for God. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. They don't have an appetite for the things of God like I do. I'm talking about how to have a wonderful marriage relationship, not just get somebody. See, the worldly folk just get somebody. I say finding a mate whose way? God's way. I'm going to show you a story of the finding of a mate in the scripture. In the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 1, the Bible says Abraham was old, but he wanted to find a mate for his son. And this is what he did. Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant of his household, the one in charge of all he had, and then in verse 3 he says, I want you to swear by the Lord God of heaven and the Lord of earth that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. Abraham was old, and the Lord has blessed him in every way. And he says, the Lord has blessed me in every way, and this decision is so critical, I don't want to bring somebody into this blessing that's going to negate it. Somebody that's going to mess up the blessing. So he says, I want you to find a wife for my son, but don't find him among the Canaanites among whom I am living. We are living among people. Just because they are convenient, just because they are here, don't mean you need to go through them and start looking for somebody just because they look good and they talk good and they sound good. You want to know if they are saved. I got another message on how you can find out if they're saved. Because a guy will come to church if he's looking for you. You ever notice a man will do whatever he needs to do to get with you? This is a famous saying among women. He wasn't like that when I first met him. He'll do a whole lot of stuff when you first meet him. He'll even come to church. He'll read the Bible. He'll pray with you. Verse 4 says, but go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. This command is often overlooked and ignored by believers. Don't go among the heathens. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who love the Lord drag somebody in they done found, and they're going to pray that God save them. I got faith, Pastor. God's going to save them. He can save anybody. There's not enough saved folks in the church. There's enough saved folks in the church. I'm tired of waiting. Remember I said you can marry whoever you want to marry. God's not going to stop you. After the honeymoon is over, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, 7 nations larger and stronger than you, do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. God was serious about people who loved him and who were his. intermingling and intermarrying with people who did not know him, did not honor him, did not respect him. Unspiritual people will not apply spiritual principles to the problems that may arise in the marriage. You need somebody who's spiritual. If you're going to be praying and asking God to do something, you need somebody who has a good understanding of that spiritual principle. When you come to the pastor and have some kind of issue that needs to be discussed, you're going to get a spiritual remedy, but you need spiritual people who's going to be able to receive it. Now, that's beside the fact that an unspiritual person is going to have a negative impact on your own spiritual growth and your own spiritual productivity. An unspiritual person is going to have an impact upon you if you are spiritual. So that's the first thing. Don't go among the heathens. God knows how to supply your need among his people. Number two, pray for guidance. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord and he'll direct your path. Pray for guidance. Young man, pray for guidance if you are seeking a mate. Pray for guidance. Put a lot of prayer in it. In Genesis chapter 24, in this story of Abraham looking for a wife for his son Isaac, in verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his masters. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Verse 12 said, then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing beside this spring and the daughters of the town people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And here's the question. Do you want to choose somebody or do you want God to choose them? God can choose them for you. And that's the best choice. God knows a whole lot of things about this person that you don't know. Let me give you a tip. Dating is designed to conceal and not designed to reveal. You don't meet someone and they tell you all of their dirty laundry as soon as you meet them. I just want to share with you because I believe we ought to have open and honest communication. I am somewhat abusive. I do believe in physical abuse. I will whoop your head. I just want you to know that. I do not work. I don't like working. I will sit at home and expect you to bring all the money home, darling. You're so beautiful. I just want you to know that. I have a problem. I'm not faithful. And I just want you to know that because I think you deserve to be shared with that honestly. They're not going to tell you that, are they? And you're not going to tell him that I just nag. I nag. I got it from my mama. I just want you to know this right now. I will nag you till you go crazy. Okay, I cannot cook a lick. I don't plan on doing no cooking, and I like a dirty house. You're not going to tell him that. I'll cuss you out. No, everybody starts lying up front. Hi, I like this. They tell you what we like, and they'll find out what you like. And you know, and everybody's going to get their very best suit and their very best face, their very best personality, their very best whatever they have, and present it to you. I might not have much, but whatever I got that's good, that's what you're going to see. I might not have two nickels to rub together. I got one good suit. You're going to see that one. All I have is a smile, and that's all I'm going to do, smile. You got a cute smile. Dating is not designed for you to find out everything you're going to find out about that person. How many people said, I didn't find that out until we got married. I didn't find out they had a problem with those credit cards. I didn't find out they've been married 8 times. I didn't find out that they've been in prison. I didn't find out all of this stuff. You don't find it out while you're dating unless you're very thorough. And I thank God that we live in a modern society with all kind of tools. And I tell people now, you know, especially if you're 25, 35, 45, getting married, do a background search. Run him on the internet. See if his picture come up as a sexual predator. You don't have no excuse to figuring this stuff out now. You don't trust me? You going to run a background check? Yeah, I trust you. I'm going to run a background check. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we did background checks. We did them differently. You might say, anybody know this person? See, we're so transient, but years ago when people stayed in the same community, stayed in the same town, who know this person? I know your mama. I know your grandmama. They come from a good family. I know this person's background. I know that kid. or your folks said, you ain't going to marry in that family. You know, they beat their wives over there. See, somebody knew you. Oh, there's a bunch of drunkards. There's a bunch of rebel rousers. There's a bunch of fools over in that family. No, you better not marry that boy. That was a background check. So people are so transient now. You got people coming from every city, every country. You don't know where they come from. So the Lord has given you another way to have a background check. So this is serious business. You know, you're looking at me like, should I really do that? No, don't do it. Just see what happens. But you need to pray. God is the best background checker there ever has been. God knows stuff that's going to happen in this person's life, even that they don't know is going to happen. Your background check needs to be time in prayer. Father, I ask you about this relationship. I ask your wisdom. I ask your knowledge. Abraham's servant said, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant. Not me. I'm just a vehicle to go out and take a look. But God, you know and you choose. By this, I would know that you have shown kindness to my master. Godly men in the Old Testament would use signs and fleeces for God's direction. But now we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And if we're spirit-filled and we're godly people, we ought to be acknowledging the Lord. Everything that glitter ain't gold. Everything that look good is not good. It may be good for somebody else, but not you. Not that that person's a bad person, but that's not going to be the person that God may have in store for you. And he knows it. Doesn't mean that person is not any good. They may be a very excellent mate for somebody else. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I don't want to lose them. The Lord said, you better lose them. There have been people who prayed for a mate, got them, and then prayed to get rid of them. Notice the first thing that happens in this search. Abraham eliminated the ungodly. And then he narrowed that search down to the godly. And then he began to pray. But he still prayed because prayer is necessary to find God's will and purpose. God can choose better than we can. He knows things that we can never know prior to marrying someone. So the second thing is, pray for guidance. Here's the third thing. Men should do the looking. The men should do the looking. The women ought not be trying to hustle and find them somebody. Mothers, train your daughters not to go out looking for some guy. I would tell my daughters, if he ain't calling you, you ain't calling him. You calling him, you trying to take him out and spend your money on him? Don't be forward. Don't be easy. Now, you can find a man if you're easy. And it doesn't take a man long to figure out that you're easy, that you're available. You stop at every... Psst. Did you say something? Be a woman of character.
Thank you for joining us today. We're sharing messages about marriage and family. There are many of you in the body of Christ who are single, and you are desirous of a mate. We're sharing with you some words of the Lord about how you can expect God to move for you if you want a husband, and the basic biblical principles that you should employ when you are looking for a mate. God also wants you to know that your life is significant even as you are single. There are many things you can do in the body of Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God will use your life right now where you are and get glory out of your participating with him in the kingdom of God. If you want to hear today's message again, I want to invite you to go to our website at lowcf.org, or you can subscribe to my podcast, The Light of the World Daily with Jerry Martin. You'll be able to hear these messages in their entirety. You also have my invitation to be our guest at The Light of the World. Each Sunday morning, we're meeting in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road. That's just north of the Beltway near 59 North. If you have a prayer request, we will be delighted to join you and put our faith with yours. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Let me remind you of the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. You can get Sunday school materials, books, Bibles, communion supplies, offering envelopes. Call the Beacon, 281-441-2885. for the Light of the World. This is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God bless you richly, and we'll be with you again next time.